Welcome to the Higher Education Researcher. This is a podcast by the Center for Higher Education Research and Evaluation at Lancaster University. My name is Janja Komljenović and my guest today is Amon Ezike. Amon is a doctoral researcher in technology-enhanced learning at Lancaster University, and her research focuses on students' experience of UK higher education. Today, we will talk about her recent research piece on technology and international students in the UK. Welcome, Amon.
Many thanks, Yaya, for having me.
Amon has just published a working paper in our series that you can find on our website. And she conducted a piece of research investigating the cultural challenges faced by English-speaking international students living and studying in the UK and how technology could possibly aid in bridging the cultural gaps. She focused particularly on Nigerian students. So Amon, this is really exciting research, very timely and of interest. And my first question to you is, how did you come up with this study? I mean, why look into cultural challenges that English-speaking international students face in the UK and how technology can help? And perhaps we should start by explaining what you mean when you say English-speaking international students. So just so we're clear on our terminology.
Okay, many thanks, Yaya. First of all, I'll start with answering how I came about the studies and then go into the English-speaking international students. This study actually came about while researching intercultural communication competence within institutions. I started interacting with international students, especially those from Nigeria, to understand the experiences as international students, and their feedback prompted my interest in this research. So hence, you know, the topic. So whenever we talk about international students, you're talking about why English-speaking international students. English-speaking international students are those students, yeah, who study in English in their home country, yeah? And here they use English as mode of communication in their home country too. For example, in Nigeria, you have over 500 spoken languages. However, English is their official language and is the mode of communication within their educational system. Yeah. So I found that there are lots of, you know, research focused on international students who speak English as another language or as the second language. Yeah. And the challenges they face in integrating in the higher education. But there were limited papers on international students who actually speak English but have cultural barriers that impact in their educational needs, and hence why I decided to go through this research.
Okay, thanks very much for that. So I will ask a sub question here, maybe put you on the spot a little bit. So do you think that there are different cultural challenges that these English-speaking international students face than quite a heterogeneous group of international students more broadly? Is there something specific here, you think?
Not specific as such. However, because I think because they speak English, they tend to be ignored in terms of they would understand what's going on, you know. But if you're coming from a different country, even though you speak English, the accents are different. The terminologies are different. The way you talk and the way you communicate, there could be misunderstanding. So these are the kind of challenges they could face. Language, yes, might not be a major barrier, but the accent comes into place. You know, sometimes, for example, from one of the students I interviewed while doing this research, said he felt intimidated. He felt less confident, even though he could speak the language. You know, he felt it would be difficult to integrate, that they couldn't, you know, understand him, you know, because of the accent. So that's, you know, where this all comes from. So it's not just about being able to speak English, but this is quite specific in terms of their accent and different terminologies that are being used.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. So this already is connected to my next question, actually. What cultural challenges do English speaking international students face in the UK based on your research? What did you find here?
Yeah, as I said earlier on, apart from being the language, there are other things such as the way or the mode of study, the way this is being delivered. For example, some the people I've interviewed actually talked about, and a lot of them talked about this in terms of the style of learning, the style of delivering the lectures. They notice that here it's more about self-study, you know, it's more about critical thinking, unlike where they're coming from, where they rely heavily on the teachers. They are being spoon-fed in terms of that. So, but for the British educational system, they place a lot of high value on independent thinking and critical analysis. So that's one of the challenges they face in terms of being able to integrate well and being able to start doing a bit of self study themselves, researching and all that. In addition, also, in terms of the way the academic writing comes up, so they also found it very challenging on how to write a piece of academic work, which is quite different from what they are used to. Another challenge, and again, cultural challenge that's been faced, is time management. In this case, they experienced a lot. So, you know, it was like a shock to them. It's a huge contrast from their home country. They found out that here, when you're told 10 o'clock or 10 a.m., 10 p.m., whatever the time you specify, you mean 10 a.m. and not a different timeline, because from there's something they call African time. So if you're saying 10 a.m., it means maybe it's 12 or 1. So they found that quite challenging and a big contrast from where they're coming from.
And what do you think can be done to mitigate these cultural challenges?
Understanding the culture and accepting difference in one's culture and others will help universities bridge the cultural gap among international students. What happens with this cultural barrier is that it has an impact on how the students receive and validate information. So, according to one of the students I interviewed, she felt that the UK culture is more open, you know, unlike where she was coming from. And she also felt that the British or the UK system was quite inclusive. However, they felt that the system is not willing to understand their own culture, where they're coming from, you know, their cultures and beliefs. So I believe that early induction is quite key. A lot of schools do this, but in terms of integrating students, well, early induction, providing the induction, making the induction program mandatory might work, because if induction is optional, a lot of people miss out in the key things. So in early induction, as I said earlier, is very, very key. Giving peer-to-peer monitoring can also help in terms of mitigating this, because people that have gone through that experience, if you pair them up with students from their own home country that have gone through that experience, it makes the integration a lot easier and less challenging. So that's another thing that, you know, could help mitigate this. Also, while also interviewing the students, they were also talking about the writing courses, mentioning this earlier in the induction process, giving student options or things that are available to them during the induction period, and not letting them find it out themselves, like giving them as much information as possible during in the induction period would help integrate them a lot better. They found that those I interviewed that did the English writing course, they felt that it was quite beneficial. So I think it's something that institutions should also look into and provide it as part of, even though they speak English, it should be part of what the students do, part of the integration process when they come in. It's also important to visit the curriculum also, because one of the students I interviewed mentioned that a lot of this was an I think she was doing architecture, and a lot of stuff that they've learned, it's they can't take it back to their home country. They can't reproduce that back in their home countries, so it's difficult. So they felt that what they are learning, yes, they are learning about within the UK system, but because they've got a lot of international students, they also start looking at their curriculums and the way they can help these home students to take the knowledge they've learned here back to their home country. So I think that kind of things that institutions need to be doing. Also, universities can provide cultural orientation programs to help students understand the cultural norms and values in the UK. These programs, they can cover topics such as academic expectations, social customs, and the broader culture. They can also another thing institutions might be able to do to make sure students are better integrated is to, you know, provide training for faculty and staff on diversity and inclusion. This will also help create a welcoming and inclusive environment for international students. Yeah, the training could include how, you know, the training can be how to, you know, teach culturally diverse student body, because there are some universities now where you've got a lot of percentage in their department of international students. So it's time in institutions start looking at, you know, training staffs and faculties on this, how to teach this, these students. Also, it will be also good for, I'm sure some institutions are doing it, organizing social and cultural events that bring students together from different cultural backgrounds. This will provide an opportunity for students to connect. They will share their experience and learn from each other. So these are kind of things that can be done to mitigate challenges that these students face and get them integrated into the system easily.
Lots of very interesting ideas here, Amon. And what technologies are available to mitigate these challenges?
There are quite a lot of technologies available. They could use regular, you know, having regular seminars, webinars, podcasts to elicit finding feedback from students, circulate relevant information, ensuring that students are being supported to a certain extent, getting their feedback, making sure we know where they are and where we want them to be. Having a centralized app that covers students, you know, shared experiences, not just because what's happening now is that there are lots of information. These informations are out there on helping students, but it's all over the place. So having a centralized app that covers, you know, students' experience, their journey, you know, they can go into that app and ask any question at all. They can ask any question, starting from the British weather to, you know, any academic question they want to ask, and they get answers. So a centralized apps would really help. Currently, a lot of international students rely on their WhatsApp group. They create their own WhatsApp group and they discuss about the challenges they are having. And if anybody has experienced such challenge, they help each other through that. So that also helps them, the WhatsApp forum. Video conferencing tools such as Teams, Zoom, Sky, you know, can help connect international students with their peers. It doesn't have to be always a physical thing. You know, they can connect with their mentors, they can, you know, remotely, and they see and they can rub off from each other. So it is a kind of things that can be done. Again, lots of institutions have Moodle, the Blackboard. let it be a platform, not just for submitting assignment, also engaging in online discussions. So these are also technologies that can provide flexibility for students to whom I find it also difficult to attend lecture. They can also use all these the learning management systems. If you talk about social, there's also social network platforms such as Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Again, that can help international students connect with each other, not just in their professional fields, but outside their professional fields. So it provides them opportunity for networking and socializing. So that's by using this technology, I believe universities can help English-speaking international students overcome cultural challenges and make their educational journey a good experience within the UK.
Thank you. So now let's move on to your research study as such. Quite a few of our listeners are PhD researchers, so I always say a few words about methodology, which was interviewing in your case. Yes. Could you tell us how you conducted and analyzed interviews and how did that go in your study? And what did you find worked particularly well with this approach? And on the other hand, what did you find challenging?
Okay, in terms of conducting interview, what worked well for me was the semi-structured interview, because it gave me a bit of control of the interview. It was also flexible for the interviewees to air their views without feeling constrained. It also gave me the opportunity to elicit tacit information as part of, you know, this matter. Yeah, so that the semi-structured interview actually helped me with that. It helped me to, you know, prompt further to, you know, make sure that I get the right information from there, in-depth discussion and information. So I found the semi-structured interview quite useful. If I'm to suggest, I'll suggest that you know your target audience, you design your core question based on your research questions and what you're trying to find out. With that, this will make your analysis at least easier, I would say. Once you know your target or you've got your questions, you know what you're trying to find out, it's easier when you do that and you start analyzing your interviews. You'll also have to decide if you're going to use, if it's going to be inductive or deductive method. Yeah. It also helps with your analysis too. What I found challenging, I'll say, and the transcribing of the interviews, because it can be time consuming, even though there are softwares that do that, but you need to go through it and ensure that it's been transcribed properly. Another thing I found challenging was the word limits. You know, you have to, you know, especially if you've got word limits and what that you need to be working towards, you need to be able to decide what you need to add within your paper and what you need to exclude, especially when it's interview, lots of things come out and you find out that, oh, this is interesting, I should put this, I should put that. You need to be able to have control on how to structure your work so that you don't go over your word limit, and you also capture what your interviewees are telling you or your participants are telling you. Another thing one needs to do is also to be able to maintain the topic you're doing and try as much as possible not to deviate, because that would actually pull you out of your main your core question that you want to do. So you're trying to contain the interview and ensuring that you're getting that you're not deviating a lot from your main goal. So it's challenging itself. It requires discipline and organization on both sides.
Great, thanks for sharing that. And finally, my final question is, how generalizable you think are your findings? Are these universal global phenomena, or what are your thoughts around that?
It's global, because existing papers already indicate there are many challenges that international students face in the educational system. And I believe that with this, with further research and the implementation of findings like mine by the institutions, I think these challenges can be addressed appropriately with technology and establishment of communities where groups experience similar situations and they can come together. So I think it's not just this is not just limited to the UK institution. When you read a lot of research, you find out that international students face a lot of challenges, and if institutions decide to research into it and look into it, they can actually solve this most of the challenges using technology. And while writing up while thinking about this podcast, a lot of things came into my mind in terms of a community of practice framework came into my mind, and I tended to investigate it further for my further research, how we could use the community of practice more.
Great. Thank you so much, Amon, for participating in our podcast series, and good luck with your future research.
Thank you, Yaya, and thanks for having me.